the fun. Now the show has begun.
Yes, Dick Bentley and Jimmy Edwards will be on hand for the next 30 minutes with Wallace Eaton, Al McCogan, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the keynotes, all inviting you to...
Take it from here.
For heaven's sake, Bentley, cheer up. All day you've been moping about with a long face. What's the matter? Found out that you've now got to pay your accompanist or something?
No, Jim. No. If you must know, I'm homesick.
Oh, Ben.
Yes, I sat in a cinema last night, and as I watched the newsreel pictures of Australia, I don't mind admitting, Jim, I was crying into my fourpenny tub.
Was it nostalgia?
No, vanilla. I always get a fourpenny one.
You get another one in a minute if you're not careful. Bentley, if you're so homesick for Australia, why don't you go back?
Yes, now would be the time for me to return. But how can I bid farewell to all my British friends?
Do another gag like that vanilla one. I didn't realize that Australia meant so much to you, Bentley.
At heart, Jim, I will always be just a simple Australian boy. That dashing, sophisticated man about town that the West End adores, that's not me.
No, that's not you. No.
Jim, please. You've never known me in my native surroundings. Oh, Australia, it's the land of opportunity, of undeveloped resources. Sheep stations, wheat, cattle, uranium, opals, gold, diamonds. What has Britain got to stand against these?
Jim. Oh, you see, they've got a long way to go yet. I don't want to be unctuous, Bentley, but you must also consider what you owe to this country.
Oh, true, Jim. Yeah, I want to be fair.
After all, it's over here that you've been acting and cracking your jokes and singing your songs. So you owe quite a debt to Britain.
Oh, you're right. Of course I do. I'm just being selfish. What shall I do to make up for it? You tell me, Jim.
Catch the first boat back to Australia, cover. Your song, Alma.
The date and the place. Just like a little butterfly, you seem to flutter by, smiling and so full of grace. We wanted in the ballroom a spacious and tall room, the atmosphere happy and gay. Then they announced a new dance they called the flirtation. This is what prompts me to say, sweet memories, I recall of that flirtation. The ball of the gay flirtation waltz. I thrilled when I held you near with your cheek close to mine. You just went to my head like a red, beautiful wine. Soft music and shaded lights raised a hope that was false. I still live the delight the grand flirtation waltz. We wanted in the ballroom a spacious and tall room, the atmosphere happy and gay. I still live a delight of a grand flirtation
waltz. It's sickening, sir. Absolutely sickening. I want this investigated immediately. Packets of corn flour, sir. Packets of corn flour.
Now, just a minute. How dare you come bursting on screaming packets of corn flour? Look what you've done. Startled Harry Rubino out of his wits.
I will raise my voice whenever I see a wong that needs whiting. I am disgusted of Tunbridge Wells, sir, man of ethics.
Nonsense. Tunbridge Wells is in Kent.
The other ethic, sir. Principle, sir. Now, you answer me this. Why do they make packets of corn flour so that you always open them at the end marked, please open at the other end?
That's only because you're holding...
Fear, you can't answer me, can you? You can't answer me.
Oh, yes, I can.
Well, I thought not. Here's another thing. Bootlaces. They're the disgrace. Can you explain this? Why do they make bootlaces so that one end is always 2 inches longer than the other?
Rubbish. I've never had that trouble with my boots.
Well, that's because you also have buttons. And they're very sweet, too. Look here, Mr. Disgusting. Stop worrying about these petty irritations. It's only on the films that things go logically and smoothly.
On the films, sir?
I said so quite distinctly. Ah, Mr. Dunhill will now elaborate.
Well, here's an example, Mr. Disgusted. Look at the ordeal of social introduction. On the films, it's always handled so suavely and easily. Like this.
Oh, I'm so glad you could come, Mr. Barlow.
Oh, so am I.
Let me introduce you to my other guests. Mrs. Redpath, may I introduce Mr. Barlow?
How do you do, Mr. Barlow?
How do you do?
And this is Colonel Pumphrey of the Bombardiers and his good lady.
Your servant to command, sir.
Colonel Pumphrey, Mrs. Pumphrey.
And may I present Mrs. Winterbottom? Her husband is away in the West Country. He's exploring the caves deep down under the Cheddar Gorge.
Now, how do you do, Mr. Barlow?
Oh, how do you do?
And a lady whose name is her own description, Miss Grace Charming. She dances at the 23 Club.
Oh, I've seen you many times, Miss Charming.
And Signor Agrippelli.
Encantado.
Good. Well, now you know everybody. Shall we go into dinner?
Well, it's all jolly smooth in the movies, isn't it? But in real life...
Well, I'm so glad you could come, Mr. Harlow.
Barlow.
I beg your pardon?
Barlow. B-A-R-L-O-W.
Oh, of course, I am so sorry. Let me introduce you to my other guest, Mrs. Birdbath. May I introduce...
Redpath.
I beg your pardon?
Mrs. Redpath.
Oh, I say, silly of me, of course. You're the one whose husband's somewhere miles and miles underground. Right?
Mr. Bentley, my husband died 10 years ago. Good night.
Oh, I do apologize. Leaving so soon, Mrs. Redcliffe? Oh, well, Mr. Bellow.
Barlow.
Yes. Signor Agrippelli. Tell us, Signor, is spaghetti really the insides of macaroni? Oh, now, come, surely you foreigners eat a lot of...
My name's Ives Pumphrey, sir, of the Bombardiers, sir.
Oh, of course, yes, this is Colonel Pumphrey, Mr. Hollow.
Barlow.
This lady, oh, no, difficulty here. This is the lady with the descriptive name, so very, very apt.
Before you get in any deeper, young man, my name is Winterbottom.
Oh. Oh, dear. Oh, Mrs. Winter... Good night, Mrs. Winterbottom. Yes. And this lady, now, she's the one I confused Mrs. Winterbottom with. You must have seen her dancing the fan dance at the 23 Club.
Fan dance, sir! My wife has never as much as removed a glove in a plate of entertainment.
No, of course. Oh, it's not Miss Charming. It's the Colonel's lady, Mrs. Humphrey.
Pumphrey, sir! Pumphrey, Pumphrey! The bees, not silent, sir. Oh. Come, Maud. And as for you, sir, I'll have you blackballed from every bowling green in the country, sir.
Oh, well, I'm afraid I made rather a mess of these introductions, Mr. Farlow.
Barlow.
Turlow. Mr. Harlow, where are you going? No, come back. Oh, dear. Well, that just leaves Miss Charming I give up. Do excuse me, madam, but I can't for the life of me think who you are.
Oh, pull yourself together, for heaven's sake. I'm your wife.
Tonight's talking point. Once more we meet the Grums, our family of ordinary people coping with the problems of living. Today their talking point is, do men make the best husbands? Over to the gloves.
Oh, Ron. It's not long now, is it?
No, eh?
It's only a few more weeks and then... Da, 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 da. Da, 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 da. Da, da. Ron, what are you standing up for?
You're supposed to stand to attention when you hear the bell.
No, Ron, I was humming the wedding march. Huh? I was humming it because, Ron, I chose my wedding dress today. I cut the pattern out of this week's woman's chat.
Oh, well, you shouldn't have done that.
Oh, it's all right, Ron. I didn't touch your cereal. Look, Ron, what do you think? Ron?
I like it, Ethel.
Madam Higgins is going to make it up for me. Look, here's the material. Look, Ron, this is what I'll be wearing when we... Oh, Ron, your face has gone beetroot. Ron?
Eth, suppose it's a cold day.
A cold? Oh, Ron, I'll be wearing more of it than this. This is only a sample bit. I shall be wearing 3¼ yards.
Oh.
And you know, the great advantage of this pattern, Ron, is after I've finished with it as a wedding dress, I can wear it for evenings when we go on our... On our... Oh, Ron, I don't like to say it.
On our bikes, eh?
On our honeymoon, Ron.
Well, give us a sample kiss, Eth.
Oh,
go
no,
on.
Oh, Ron. Oh, no. Give it over, Ron.
Start.
Oh, you're rumpling me pattern. Oh, no, please. Well,
got to try sometime. And have a...
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah.
Another peace conference, eh? I shan't interrupt, Ron. I just wondered if you'd mind me cleaning my shoes in here with you. It's lonely in the kitchen by myself. I'll set your mother up to lie down on the bed for an hour or two.
Oh, isn't Mrs. Glum well, Mr. Glum?
She's all right, but I want my best trousers pressed for the Masonic tomorrow. Ron, I must do my shoes. Where's the brown putter on her? This bit of old rag is no use. I'm proper put off unless I get the proper putter on her.
Look, Mr. Glum, if you can spare a moment.
What is it, then?
Well, I've got the pattern for my wedding dress. Look.
Eth! Eth, you're not going to wear that. Oh, well.
What's wrong with it?
That's far too declotty.
Declotty, Dad?
You know very well what I mean. Shows far too much Eth. Oh, look at that neckline. I've never seen nothing so indecent even on the television.
Mr. Glum.
It does not suit your shape, Ed, and that's flat.
Oh. Did you hear what he said about my shape, Ron? Oh, Ron, do something.
Dad, that was uncalled for. I demand that you apologize.
I apologize?
Thank you, Dad. No bad feeling.
Well, it was very nasty of you, Mr. Glum. I only want to look nice at my wedding.
Wow, yeah.
Well, everybody else is going to look nice. My mum's got a new dress with a princess line.
Your mother wear the Cunard line. If I wasn't meaning to be unkind, it's just... Well, I was just... Well, you know me and my sentiment. I was rather hoping you'd wear... Well, Ron's mum's wedding dress.
Oh.
Mum's wedding dress, Dad?
Yeah, she saved it through the years. Treasured it, she has.
Oh, Mr. Glum, I didn't know. Of course I'll wear Mrs. Glum's wedding dress.
Oh, Eth, you're all right. You're... Mother! Where's your lovely wedding dress? What you've treasured down through the years so that our son's bride could walk down the aisle a-wearing of it. Well, that's a blasted stupid place to put it, you silly old lady bag.
Haven't you got it, Dad?
Got it? I've been putting the brown polish on with it.
Give me yours. Take my heart and give me yours. Till we to a one. Just one kiss if we should dare. Just one love for us to share. Just one ecstasy is there. Till we two are one. There could be heavenly dreams we take and give for thrillingly, willingly, moments that we live for. Take my love and give me yours. Take my life and give me yours. Take my soul and give me yours. Till we two are one.
Just one kiss if we should dare. Just one love for us to share.
Just one ecstasy is there. Till we two are one. There could be heavenly
dreams we take and give for
thrillingly, willingly, moments that we live for. Take my love and give me yours. Take my life and give me yours. Take my soul and give me yours. Till we two are one. Till we two are one.
Waiter, waiter, three more brandies and soda, please.
Well, give us your glasses and I'll give them a swill out.
Say, Bentley, know what I've been reading? Plato. Wonderful philosopher, Plato. You know Plato, Bentley?
Oh, yes, Your Grace, I love him. And all the others, Goofy, Mickey, Donald Duck, all that.
No. I mean the old Greek gentleman, Plato, wrote Plato's Republic. Now, he claimed it's possible to get a sort of paradise on Earth, called it the ideal state. What do you think the ideal state would be like, Edward?
I don't know, Your Grace, but another couple of brandies and you'll have reached it.
Yes, but Edwards, wouldn't it be wonderful to find a place somewhere where everything's perfect? No worries, no troubles.
What? Wonderful? I wonder. Let me tell you a story, Your Grace. It was a wet Tuesday afternoon in Tibet. By the way, name's Wentworth, Tubby Wentworth. After a pretty distinguished career in the diplomatic service, they made me British commercial attaché in central Tibet. However, this wet Tuesday I was telling you about, there was I in Lhasa, that's the capital of Tibet, listening to this young English novelist chappie, Simon Bellamy, who turned up out of the blue.
Don't you see, Wentworth, we're all of us lost and searching. My journey is what you might call symbolic. Know what I mean?
Oh, yes, we use buckets of it out here in Tibet. No drains, you know, no place.
Symbolic. Not carbolic.
Oh, yeah.
You ask me what I am searching for here on the roof of the world. I am seeking the lost valley of Shangri-La.
Shangri-La? Bellamy, have you gone Bellamy?
Wentworth, I'm as sane as you are.
I'll get you a doctor.
I'm sure Shangri-La exists, and I'm going to search for it. And damn it, if I can't go by myself, then I'll go alone.
No need to lose your temper, old man. I think you got up the wrong side of Tibet this morning. All right, Bellamy, I'll help you find your secret valley. Now, where's your map?
Well, here it is, Wentworth. Now, you'll notice it's in kilometres. So our first job will be to convert it into English pounds.
Oh. I've got a contact for that.
Yes, yes.
Now, as to supplies, here's what we'll need. One compass, two woolly jumpers, three llamas, pair of pajamas, four yaks, one axe, and a couple of Union Jacks.
Can words describe our next 3 weeks of battling back and forwards across the ice and snow of Tibet, sliding down the Indian Himalayas and cannoning off the Hindu Kush? Till finally, we found ourselves on a vast plateau of ice. Wentworth could take no more. He shook his head wearily.
Curse these icicles on my moustache. It's no use, Bellamy, we're lost.
Look,
Look at the ice. Suddenly a lot of nasty little cracks have appeared on it.
I know, I dropped my script. My hands are numb, you know.
No, the ice is giving way. We're done for.
There, lie still, oh handsome stranger. Let me brush your fevered brow with my cool lips. Let me fan your hot cheeks with my eyelashes. Yes, this is Shangri-La. When the glacier cracked, you tumbled down into our hidden valley. You have been unconscious for 2 days.
But I had a companion. What of my companion?
He has been conscious for quite a time.
Bellamy, you've come round, I can tell. Jolly good show. Hello, Jasmine.
Hello, Jim.
What a night last night, eh? Talk about Shangri-La-La.
And you scoffed, Wentworth. You said there could be no place left where man could find contentment of the spirit.
Oh, you don't know the half of it, old lad. Here, have a fag.
No, thank you. I'd rather.
It's all right. All filter tip, no tobacco, safe as houses. Come and have a drink at my chalet.
Look, I'd rather not.
Go on, it's 35 bob a crate. And I get £2 back on the empties. Oh, lucky Jim.
No, Jim, your friend is tired. Let him learn of our ways slowly.
Well, it suits me. Me and Lotus will nip along and listen to the wireless.
There is wireless and Shangri-La.
Oh, yes, but this is real entertainment. Do you know, all they have on 24 hours a day is Jimmy Edwards playing the trombone.
I tell you, Bellamy, this is paradise indeed.
So Simon Bellamy, writer and dreamer, found his Shangri-La. This enchanted valley where no rose has a thorn and even the treacle tart never gets in your fillings. Everything about Shangri-La was so different. The Shangri-La Parliament.
And what is more, Mr. Prime Minister, something must be done about the salaries which we MPs receive. We all demand that you knock £500 a year off our money immediately.
The Shangri-La Sport.
And here are the football results. Shangri-La Rovers 1, Laza United 3. Those who put down Shangri-La for a home win will be sent back their coupon to give them a chance to alter it.
The Shangri-La rush hour traffic.
Excuse me, conductor, is this bus full up?
I'm afraid it is, sir. But I'll tell you what, look, you get on and I'll run behind the bus.
The correspondence column of the Shangri-La newspaper.
It's splendid, sir, absolutely splendid. Signed, Serene of Shangri-La.
Yes, Jasmine. I've had a very happy 6 months here in Shangri-La, but now, oh, Jasmine, I must get back to the world of reality. I am a novelist, and I've got to nov.
No, Simon, no. Stay here with me. Now that you've found your land of heart's desire, why must you leave it?
You forget, Jasmine, I'm an Englishman.
Well, I can lend you some money. I love you. We all love you. To us, you are a symbol, Simon.
But... Jasmine, try and understand. My life has been a quest of the might have been in the here and now. And if the might have been turns out to be the here and now that never was, then a little of what you fancy does you good. Wentworth, are you ready to leave?
Do not let him go. He's only leaving because he's got his might have been caught up in his never was.
I must go. It's now or never. Goodbye, Wentworth. And Jasmine, oh, my dear, I pray this isn't goodbye. Let us hope this it's just, as the French say, hors d'oeuvre.
Gone. Oh, Oh, Jim, he's left this sunny valley of laughter and lovely women because he thought his work more important.
Do not weep, my child. By his action, he has proved a truth which the great world outside often forgets these days.
What is that truth?
There's a mug born every minute. Now, let's get back to paradise.
To the augmented BBC Review Orchestra, bring our recorded show to a close. Those involved were Dick Bentley and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alma Copen, June Whitfield, Herbert Mostyn, and the Keynotes. Frank Muir and Dennis Norden wrote the script, and the program was produced by Charles Maxwell. We all invite you to tune in next week.